She's doing better, thanks. She's out with the chillins. Chapter 4. Just one of those chapters. The first part, just dealing with all his people that were surrounding him, but and then dealing with some issues that had come up. But it says, so King Solomon was king over all of Israel, praise the Lord, after getting his brother out of the way, and the Lord getting his brother out of the way so that he could minister. And these were the princes which he had: Azariah, the son of Zadok, the priest. Zadok, we know, was a great priest. Great teaching. Go to Ezekiel chapter 44 and just look him up in that. Just such a special blessing in that. But it says, Aliah, whatever his name is, and Ahiah, the sons of Shisha, were the scribes. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the host. Remember Benaniah, he's the one that's been kind of the executioner lately, but a trusted compatriot of Solomon's, one who he could trust. And Zadok and Abiathar were the priests, and there's arguments over whether this Abiathar was the same Abiathar that was in Samuel. Not sure. Some say yes, some say no. I don't know. God does. But whoever he was there. And Azariah, the son of Nathan, was over the officers. And Zabud, the son of Nathan, was principal officer and the king's friend. Amazing, as he puts in there, as the Holy Spirit puts in there, that he was not only somebody that served, but he was a friend. And we have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And thank goodness for Jesus. And Ahishar was over the household, and Adoniram, the son of Abda, was over the tribute. And so he puts in these people that were close to him. And we know Proverbs talks about in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And the multitude of people who have the same heart, the same mind, the same direction, it's wonderful to have that place where you can fellowship as well as serve together. And that's so sweet in the body of Christ, that there's not one that's above another. It's just different offices, different places to serve, different ways to serve, but we're all important in God's kingdom. And we need to have people around us who are like-minded, who have the same heart, the same God, and to walk with those folks. Just telling the folks last night that it's wonderful to be in a place where we can be together and just be able to minister one to another and to walk in the same direction. And that's so sweet, because in the days that we're in, there's a lot of junk going on. Churches are splitting. Churches are going in different directions. We now have the church replacing Israel. No. We have Kingdom Now theology. No. We have the thousand-year reign going on right now? No. But all these are so-called Christian churches. So as you see the numbers in America that says over 60% are Christians...
No.
No. You start paring down, and I think, it personal opinion, don't say it as thus saith the Lord, but my own, I think if we have 10%, that are truly born-again Christians who are walking after the things of the Lord and obedient to the commands of the Lord, obedient to his word, I think we got a huge number. Because I really think it's less, but that's my own opinion. So hang in there. But there are people, and God will put you in places where you have those people, but stick with those folks. Pray for them. Let them pray for you. But be in that place to be accountable to somebody who you can trust, just like he said here that Zabud, he was the principal officer, but he was also his friend. We need those people around us to stick with us, to pray for us, and to be in touch with always. It's wonderful. So he goes on and he says, and Solomon had 12 officers over all of Israel, which provided victuals or food for the king, and it wasn't bugs, as the council wants to give us now. They're getting rid of the farms, they're getting rid of the cows. There's going to be a shortage of cows very soon. But they provided victuals for the king and his household. Each man his month and a year made provision. So almost in a sense, whereas you look at Acts chapter 6, when you have these men coming in and helping, because the early church has started, the New Testament church, in Acts chapter 6, they start making these men who are deacons in the church to provide food for those that were widows, those that were poor. And you see Stephen becoming one of them. So by Acts chapter 7, it's interesting. Acts chapter 6, he's made an officer in the church. They give him a title. They give him a name of something to do. He starts teaching Bible studies. In Acts chapter 7, he gets killed. I mean, come on. What a short time of service, you know? Some of us are going to have short service. Some of us are going to have long service. But God knows. But all that service is important, and we need to be faithful in it. So Lord, give us faithful hearts. But these folks come in. They're going to be 12 of them, which serve 1 month a year. So every year you're going to serve one month. During that, you're going to provide the food that's necessary for the king and his household. But look at what this guy eats. But it isn't just this guy. We got to remember that. If he was eating all of this, he would be rotund. Is a good word for him, but he's not. And these are their names: the son of Hur in Mount Ephraim, the son of Dakar in Machaz, and in Sheal Bim, and in Beth Shemesh, and in Elan Beth Hanan, and the son of Hesed in Aroboth. To him pertain the Shoko in all the land of Hefer, and the son of Abinadab in all the region of Dor, which had Tapath, the daughter of Solomon, to wife. In Baana, the son of Ahilud, to him performed Taanach, in Megiddo, in all of Bethshan, which is by Zertana, beneath Jezreel. I really hate this. And from Bethshan to Abel Meholah, even to the place that is beyond Jokneam. The son of Geber in Ramoth-Gilead, to him pertained the towns of Jair, and the son of Manasseh, which are in Gilead, to him also pertained the region of Argob, which is in Bashan, 70 great cities with walls and brazen bars. And Ahinadab, the son of Iddo, had Mahanaim, and Ahimaaz was in Naphtali, and he also took Bashmath, the daughter of Solomon, to wife. So he's now related to Solomon and serving there in that place. And Baana, the son of Hushai, was in Asher in Aloth. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Paruah, in Issachar. And Shimei, the son of Elah, in Benjamin. And Geber, the son of Uri, was in the country of Gilead, in the country of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. And he was the only officer which was in the land. And Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. So they list all these men, and we go, well, what is with all of that? Who really cares, and who wonders? But God cares. And he lists names of the men in these folks, in these places, that were going to be faithful. And they may have been like you and I, just sitting, well, I'm in Rochester, big deal. And he says, but if you're serving, God knows where you are, and God knows what you're doing. It's important to God, and he knows your name. Our names are written where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. Just think, if we hadn't come to salvation, our names wouldn't be written. And he knows who you are. He knows what you're doing, and he knows the faithfulness that you have towards him. And it's recorded, and he's going to read it someday. Can you imagine? And not only that, as we sit before the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus is going to come by. He's going to call you by name, and he's going to wash your feet. He's going to serve you. He's going to sing over you. It tells us in Zephaniah 3, He's going to sing over you in song with love.
The marriage supper parallels the great tribulation. 7 years long.
Yep.
Same.
Yep. Okay. God's busy, but we're kept. Can you imagine all those things that are going on? How great that is. And yet the Lord knows every single item about us and what we're doing. So Lord, help our hearts to be faithful. Help our hearts to be in that place where we're walking after Him. It doesn't matter our age. What matters is the heart. He's not looking at your age. He's looking at your heart. Just to see all the things that are happening. And just to know those things. And what sweetness we get to look forward to. You and I have a hope that the world is never going to see. I can't imagine the hurt that's going to be there as the Lord says, depart from me because I don't know you. But Lord, I did this in your name. What part of the church is that? We don't know. But we need to be faithful in these times that we're in. And I think the Lord is calling the church to faithfulness more and more. We aren't seeing all these things going on in Israel, all around them. And now Lebanon starting to throw hundreds and hundreds of missiles a day at Israel. And they're still trying to clean up Hamas. I just thank the Lord that Lebanon didn't do this while they started this thing with Hamas. That would have been disastrous to have those two fronts and then Iran supplying all the ammo, all the stuff that they need to have. And we think, well, just by coincidence, how does this happen at this time, as for such a time as this? And you see Iran in Russia together in agreement. Gee, go figure. That was only prophecy up until just a few years ago. Because up until then, they were enemies. They had no agreements. They had no pacts. And all of a sudden now, they're getting along together. You look at Ezekiel 37, 38. And you see the battles that are going to go on there. And who are buddies? Iran and Russia. Gee, go figure. Maybe there's a God to put all this together. You trust God first. You trust His word first. And then you look at everything else from a distance and just say, okay, God's moving. The world is wondering and scratching their heads as to what's going on. You and I have the answer. It's in here. We know what's going on. We know. They're just guessing. We go, nah, that's wrong. Right here. But they don't want to listen. They're speculating. We know. Don't we have a great God that tells us
Amen.
The future that's coming? And you and I are part of that future. So He names all these guys that were going through that were faithful to Him, that He entrusted the care to them, and that they were going to be faithful to make sure those things happened that He needed. In Judah, in Israel, were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, and they're eating and drinking and making merry. The Lord spoke about this. We'll see that in a second. And Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river of the land of the Philistines and under the border of Egypt. They brought presents, and they served Solomon all the days of his life. These things spoken of back in Genesis, just an amazing thing. Genesis 15, starting in verse 18, it says this, in the same day, and this is when Abraham is sitting before the Lord. The Lord puts him to sleep because he can't handle it. It says, in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. He hasn't changed his name yet. He makes this covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. It's their land. It's not anybody else's land. You can't call Israel an occupier of the land because God owns the land and it's theirs. Hello. When you get countries like Kuwait that wasn't even named Kuwait till 1962, and yet now they're saying that Israel doesn't have a right to the land when they had it 4,000 years ago. Hello. What is going on? We're trying to twist history and make it to be what it's not to be.
Right.
And God says, my word doesn't change. He says, unto your seed I've given this land from the river of Egypt, under the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, and all the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgasites, and the Jebusites. These 10 tribes, all in that place that God was going to displace and bring Israel in, it's theirs. Abram, this is your land. Abram, this is your place. And it says they brought presents to Solomon, and they served him all the days of their life. They served him in that place because he was over the land. God was over the land. Solomon, his minister of that land. And it says that Solomon's provision for one day, this is why you got 12 different tribes, 12 different groups serving once a month, or 1 month out of the year, because they couldn't handle any more work than what they had. This is one day's provision. 30 measures of fine flour. A measure is about 10 bushel.
Mine says 185
bushels. Wow.
150 am I?
Ah. Well, 30 times the 10. Yeah, we could get it in there. 30 times the 10 is 300.
300 bushels.
Yeah, so whatever, somewhere in there. I don't think anybody really knows exactly what it is. That's a lot of flour. Whatever it is. It's fine flour and 80 measures of meal. 10 fat oxen. And how do you gauge whether they're fat or not? You know, you just go out, oh, there's a fat one. I don't know. 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the pasture. It doesn't say they're fat. It could just be 20 oxen that are out of there. So you got 10 fat ones and then 20 other ones. And 100 sheep, besides harts, roebucks, and fallow deer, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tiphsah even unto Aza, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had a peace on all sides round about him. David went before him, remember, and there was war. Solomon comes, and there's peace. And what do we see when Jesus comes? There's war before he gets there. There's peace that comes when he's there, because he's the Prince of Peace. Oh, a picture of what the Lord is going to do and what's to come before. And so it says that's just one day's meal. And you got this whole group serving a whole month at a time, and they're preparing this every day.
Well, there's a couple million people living there, wasn't
there? Yeah, but not all were in Solomon's kingdom. But this is what he had just for the ones that ate at his tables in the kingdom. yeah, you're feeding a lot of people here. But now as you look from verses 25 to 28, you almost have a picture of the millennial reign as well as what's going on here now. So you can put these together. There's a double meaning that's going on here. And it says, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. So you see these things, but you realize there's more going to it. In Micah 4:4, it says this, and this is about the millennial kingdom that's coming, the kingdom that's going to be there. It says, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. Sound kind of familiar? So the double meaning is there. This is what happened in Solomon's time, but it's also going to be what's going to come in the future. Oh. And isn't it amazing that we can pick and choose what we want to believe out of God's word? You know, because there's people, even in the church, who will sit there and say, that can't be about the millennial kingdom. That can't happen. And yet, if God's word is true, then we're going to see it come to pass. Mm-hmm. And then you have to sit there and examine yourself, because we can't point fingers at anybody else. We can just point them at ourselves. And Lord, what do I believe? Do I believe every part of your word to be true? Or am I struggling with part? And believe me, we all struggle with parts of the word. We just don't understand. We don't have the understanding that we need to have. But he says that any of you that lack wisdom, that lack understanding, ask him, and he'll give it to you liberally without reproach. And so we come to him, Lord, help me with this portion of scripture, because I just don't understand it. I don't get it. What's going on? And it doesn't mean that instantly you're going to have wisdom, but it means the Lord is going to show you somewhere down the line, because he's going to be faithful. He's going to encourage you. He's going to show you when the time is right, when you're able to understand, when you're able to put it all together. But we're in a place where we have all 66 books. What do we do with them? Lord, do I believe every part of every book, or do I not believe part of it? And we've got churches that are ripping out pages of their books because, well, God doesn't really mean that. He means this. Hello. Oh, Lord, help us. Help me to believe every part of every word. They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. None are going to make them afraid. What does it say about Solomon? He had peace on all sides. Oh, and when Jesus comes to rule and reign, we're going to be able to be out there, and nobody's going to make us afraid. The kids are going to play in the streets, the boys and the girls together. And they're going to stick their hands down snake pits. And they're going to pick them up and go, oh, look at the little worm I got. They're going to walk with the lions and pet the lions. Just had a guy in one of the zoos just the other day. He climbed over the fence to get in with this lion. Evidently, he thought he was a lion whisperer. Found out that the lion wasn't whispering. The guy is now dead. He was meat for the lion. Amazing what we think we can do. But in the millennial reign, we're there. And the kids are going to be petting the lions and walking with them.
What kids?
The kids that are in the millennial reign. There's going to be people in the millennial reign that are still alive from the tribulation period. And they're going
to
be...
into all that too.
Yeah. And they're going to be... Yep. I'm like a kid now. It's just that my body doesn't feel like it. but they're going to sit under the tree and none are going to make them afraid. Why? Because the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. And if God has spoken it, then it's going to be real. Believe the word of God. Trust your God that speaks. Because he always does what's right, and he always says what's right, and all his words are come to pass. If God ever fails in one bit of information that he's given us in his word, then we can't trust him. Oh, that's how big our God is. For all the people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can you imagine? We're going to walk in the name of our Lord. In Zechariah, chapter 3, it says this. His future is now prophesied. He says this starting in verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, and thou and thy fellows that are before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, all in capital letters. We know who it's talking about. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes, seven the number of completion, and all seeing God. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Can you imagine? Sin gone. You wake up in the morning and there's no sin in the world. Oh, let us have that. Turn on the news and it's all good news. It's just like, oh, this is going to be good in one day. And if he can do all that in one day, what can he do your life in 1 minute? Can he change your heart from unbelief to belief? Can he change that draw of the flesh and stop it. Oh, Lord, you can do this. Oh, in one day. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. And being under the vine and the fig tree just speaks of prosperity and wealth. Because in the days of battle, in the days of war, nobody had their own. They were trampled down. They were gone. In the days of captivity, they had nothing of their own. Isn't it amazing that with World Economic Forum, they're even proclaiming that you will have nothing and you'll be happy about it. What does God say? Every man is going to have his fig tree. I'm going to provide for every man. Instead of the government doing it, God is going to do it. And we're both going to be happy, supposedly, but we're going to have this stuff. The world is going to have nothing. That's what the enemy is offering the world. You're going to have nothing, but you're going to be happy about it. Aren't you excited? No. Hello. And according to them, they have to get rid of, are you ready? They have to get rid of, for the World Economic Forum to work, they have to get rid of 7.5 billion people. Because they only want 500 million people on this earth. Do you think you're going to be one of those 500 million? Wrong. You're not one of them. He's the one. But look at what the world gives you, and look at what the Lord gives you. Oh, Father, I'd rather have what you have and what you're going to give me than what the world wants to offer me, because I don't have a chance. Oh. But just think, they have 7 years of power, and we have eternity. Amen. What would you rather have? Just a brief blast of power and name and fortune? Or would you rather have eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Oh God, let him have it. And you know what? The way this world looks, they can have it right now. It's okay. I don't mind. I can go home to heaven. It's okay. So you look at this, and it says there in 25 that they're going to be every man under his vine, under his fig tree, from Dan to Beersheba. And that just means, that's figurative. It just speaks of from the north, the northernmost part, to the southernmost part. All of Israel is going to be covered in that. This is what they're going to have. And they're going to have that all the days of Solomon. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses. That's a lot of horses. 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, and 12,000 horsemen. And of course, in Deuteronomy, it talks about not gathering to yourself horses. So here's Solomon, the wisest man in the world, but not doing everything that God said. But we'll get there. We certainly can't point fingers at him, because what would we do with all of that? Oh my. And those officers provided a victual for King Solomon, for all that came to King Solomon's table, every man in his month, and they lacked nothing. So this is for King Solomon's table. And not one of them that came to his table, into his kingdom, into that place of sitting with him, before him, lacked anything to eat. Well, I think with all those oxen, the fat ones, and then the regular ones, and all those other things. I mean, one day you're going to have steak, the next day you're going to have cornichon. I don't know, you just, whatever. Barley also, and straw for the horses and dromedaries, the camels that they brought into the place where the officers were, every man according to his charge. According to his charge. He charged them. They delivered it because God provided it. And isn't that amazing? They had duties to do, but God provided everything that they needed. They had things to take care of, but God provided the strength that they needed to have to do it. And we look to our Lord, Lord, I need your strength today to do the things that are before me. Because some of these things look hard, they look overwhelming. I don't know where I'm going to get all this stuff, but Lord, you know what I need. You know how to provide. And God provides in the midst of all of that. Did you ever look when Jesus fed the 5,000? It's just so amazing. As you just sit there and look, and we go, Lord, can you provide for me right now? I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world, Lord. That's a lot of people to feed. Can you provide for me for my needs right now? When the people came, and there was 5,000 men, doesn't count the women and the children, so you could go anywhere from 10,000 to 20,000, depending on what you want to count for the people that were there. But there's at least 5,000 there, the men that sat down, and they put them in groups. And the Lord blessed these five loaves of bread, these little pita things, and two sardines, right? And he fed all of them. And how many baskets did they gather up?
12.
One for each one of the disciples. Because did the disciples know how they were going to feed them? They couldn't believe that God could take care of this many people. One for each one of them. But you know what? They didn't get one for the Lord. I was just looking at it this week. The Lord didn't get a basket of food. Because what did he tell the men when they came back, when he was at the woman at the well in John chapter 4? And they went out of the city to get food, right? They come back, and Jesus said, don't eat it. They said, well, where did you get food? Where did you get meat? He said, I have meat that you know not of. That's how he's going to provide for you and I. He has meat that we know not of that he's going to give to us, that it's going to nourish us for eternity. God, you know eternity is a long time. You got enough food for eternity? Is there enough Wegmans in heaven to take care of all of us for eternity? I mean, they're going to run out sometime. No, he isn't. Because why would he bring us to heaven if he didn't have anything to give us? Can he take care of us now? Lord, you know my cupboards are bare. Lord, you know the funds are drying up. Lord, you know the needs that I'm going to have in the future. He says, I can take care of you even in that. Do you trust me? Oh, Father, help us to trust you today. So it says in verse 29, God gave. Look at God gave. Do something with that word. He didn't charge him for it, didn't put it on his account, didn't do anything. He gave to Solomon. wisdom and understanding exceeding much. Can he give you wisdom for today with the things that you're going to face today? Oh, yes, Lord, you can. He gave him wisdom and understanding exceeding much. He gives him exceedingly abundantly above all that he could think or ask for. What did Solomon ask for? Give me understanding and a way to rule all these people. And the Lord gave him that plus more. Exceedingly abundantly, it tells us in the New Testament. Isn't that what he gives to us? Ugh. And not only did he give him that, but he gave him largeness of heart. And I think there's a reason for that. Even as the sand that is on the seashore,